The Red Eye Radio podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Yeah, that would be, we were just talking about Joe Biden and the story written on him yesterday in Politico about the fact that, you know, he's still the most popular guy out there for Democrats to beat Trump, but there's really no excitement about his campaign, no really excitement on the road when he holds a rally. People really aren't that excited about him. And Eric and I have figured out that it's sort of like people, Democrats have gone, it's not, yes, Biden, he can beat Trump. It's more like, well, yeah, we think he's the guy most, I guess, likely to beat Trump. Yeah, so he's the guy that I'm,
right.
You know, there's really no excitement. And you said he needs to start getting political endorsements. Here's the point. And you started this a ways back because we have talked about the fact that the Democrat Party, because they have embraced identity politics, they went from a small pie of victims and oppressors, and they kept expanding that pie over the decades.
And the slices kept getting smaller.
The slices kept getting smaller and smaller, but there were more victims and more oppressors and more victims and more oppressors. And all of a sudden, there were so many victims that they were such small slices that some of those slices of the victims actually became the oppressors, to the point today where Martina Navratilova, according to Democrats and the liberal left in this country, and Democrats, remember, because they all voted for the Equality Act, that now feminists and lesbians are oppressors who believe that women should be women and men should be called men.
Right.
They are now the oppressors of the Democrat Party. That's how crazy that has gotten. But you think about it. Endorsements mean who really wants to give an endorsement? It's whether you can help me right now. And that's what we've talked about.
Right,
the Democrat Party has played the, and this is, I mean, this is amazing sociologically when you think about it. They have just expanded so many victims and so many oppressors that some of the victims have become the oppressors. And now it's not that you're just a victim of a particular group. It's not just, I'm a victim of the billionaires or I'm the victim of the white male.
Mm.
You're the victim of everybody.
Right.
You are your own victim, and everybody surrounding you is a potential oppressor, even if it's in their, even if it's they're in your own party, and even if at times they share the same beliefs as you, because you know and you've seen the expansion of victimhood and the oppressorhood out there. You've seen it grow and grow and grow and grow. And as you said, there are no heroes anymore. AOC, I'm the boss.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. There is nobody I really respect. Okay, not Biden, but Bernie Sanders. You know, okay, I'll agree with some people at this point, but getting to the point of endorsing them. That's really interesting.
Because the nature of the endorsement has changed. Think about this, though. You know, because it really, I mean, the hashtag MeToo thing was part of it. It is the same mentality on how the movement, where the movement went. We're not talking about those that were saying they were abused or there was someone crossed the line or whatever it is. We're talking about how, what the effect of it was. The effect was, if you're a male producer in Hollywood, or if you're a male director, if you're in any considerable position of power, if you're a single actor, you got to be careful of going on a date, right? Of having a conversation, of, because, let's face it, being falsely accused is a real thing. So people were afraid to essentially attach themselves to anything or anyone. Politically, that's damaging because back in the day, they, especially the left, needed those endorsements. Those endorsements made them look hip and cool. You know, we're not talking about like governors. We're talking about actors, actresses, and everything else. And now you can't. Do you want to get on board if you're a if you're an actress, if you're an actor? You want to get on board with a political campaign these days?
Well, at times the Democratic Party surprises me. You know, politically where they go, and Pete Buttigieg was a perfect example. He came in, and I thought, oh, okay. You know, he's out there promoting himself, ex-military, you know, gay. This guy's going to be loved by the media and Democrats. And a couple of days after he announces, you know, when the articles start coming out, is he gay enough?
Right.
And I'm like, where are they going with this? It's like, well, we have to make sure that his white maleness doesn't supersede, doesn't over-influence the gay part of him, that the gay part is the dominant over the white male, because we always have to be suspicious of the white male. It's not enough that you're gay. It's the fact that you must reject your white maleness in order to be legitimately gay. I mean, in the liberal Democratic community, it's to the point of that even that caught me off guard. I was like,
well, here's
really
here's
and here, but it makes your point.
Here's what it is. The Democrats are shopping for a new car. But right after they test drive each one, they tear it apart into all of the different components and pieces are laying in a pile on the ground going, well, I don't want that one. I'm not buying that. It's not even put together. What's wrong with you? Why would I even pay for that? I mean, this is exactly, this is the nature of it. That's the whole problem, is that how do you build energy that way? If you looked at what the president was saying at the rally that I was watching, again, I was watching the day after the recording of the rally at Panama City Beach, Florida. And I go back to it only because it's the only one I've seen, you know, and I watched most of it. That's the most I've ever seen a rally when it wasn't covered by the news, right? Usually when it's live streaming, if a rally is live streaming, it's usually in the evening when you and I are asleep and or preparing for the show, so we didn't get to watch it. Well, I watched that one, and the energy was incredible. And the point being is that it's built on things that the president has already accomplished. Okay? How do you, on the left, what do you do if, because the party right now, it's going Biden's direction. That could change. But it doesn't matter who it is. How do you bring people together with the energy that should be there built in right now for a Biden? Because when the left doesn't, they no longer want to do rallies. Why is that? Because the rally is me, as an individual, rank and file, endorsing whoever it might be. And guess what? Who wants to endorse anyone when they know the media's treatment or the left treatment of any of them? You want to risk saying, oh, man, Buttigieg all the way. And then a week later, he gets shamed for something he posted on Twitter 7 years ago.
Right.
And, oh, no. Well, I don't condone that. Oh, well, I don't. Okay. Nobody wants to approach any kind of endorsement level. And frankly, if you're showing up to a rally and you're waving a sign, that's an endorsement. And I think people on the left right now are really hesitant. And I think the nature of that political game is at the very least right now shut down, if not gone altogether.
You know, we've been talking about the amazement over the last couple of days about the apology tour that so many of the Democrat candidates have had to go on. And, you know, we talked about O'Rourke again. He had to apologize, you know, for the way that he treated his staff. He's had to apologize for his privilege. He actually had to get to the point of saying he is probably the most, you know, the least qualified people who should be born to be president, whatever the heck that
means. Whatever that means, right?
And we have talked about that, you know, when it comes to Bernie Sanders having to acknowledge and apologize for his whiteness. We've talked about the debate going on. You know, what's more powerful? What's a bigger influence on Pete Buttigieg? Is he gay enough? Remember that one of the first to be hit with it wasn't a man. Right. It was Kamala Harris. Remember, she did the interview. She had to defend. Here, this is from Politico from February 12th. Why Kamala Harris is glad people are asking if she's black enough. Why? Because she married a white man.
Right.
You know, and you and I talked about this.
Yes.
You know, we talked about this a few years ago that remember, we said the bigotry and the intolerance that comes out of the liberal black leadership in this country and the Democrat leadership, that if you're black and a conservative, you're not truly black.
Right.
Now, you look at Kamala Harris, she has to defend, she has to, you know, I'm glad people are asking me if I'm black enough. And now she had to explain back in February, remember in the radio interview, why she married a white man.
Right.
Could you imagine on the Republican side having to answer that question?
Right.
It would never be done.
Right.
And they call themselves progressive.
Yes.
I'm progressive. Kamala Harris, are you really black enough because you married a white man? Could you please explain why you married a white man? Can you imagine if a Republican ever asked that question?
Oh, no, it'd be over. Done.
And that goes back to February, and we had talked about it at the time, saying, you've got to be kidding me. So even Kamala Harris is on an apology tour.
She has to apologize for her husband.
Right, and you're saying she's not apologizing, she's explaining and justifying.
Right,
that's apologizing, folks.
Yes, it is.
Because that question should never, ever, 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 ever come up in 2019. You're not progressives. You're bigots.
Why would you ask the question in the first place?
Why would you ask the question?
Why?
I would never even think of that. That question would never enter my mind.
No. No.
You want to know the difference between conservatives and liberals? Right there.
And really, I mean, think about the bigotry and the thought behind Buttigieg. Well, he's gay, but he's also a white male, so sorry. I mean, in 2019.
Here it is from February 12th. Senator Kamala Harris was forced to defend her blackness in a radio interview that aired Monday, including by explaining why she married a white man. Wow. You know what her explanation was? Well, it just happened.
Like it was an accident or something? What do you mean it just happened?
Yep.
If I said that about my wife, it just happened. It is what it is. If someone asked me about my marriage, I love my wife. I love my family. It's why I'm running.
I'd have fun with that. If it was
just unbelievable.
We'd like to ask Mr. McNamara why you're running and why you're married to a woman whose skin color is slightly a different tone than yours. Really? What are you talking about? Honey! Oh, my! Your skin color's a little bit different than mine!
How did this happen? Wow.
It was premeditated.
This was premeditated. You planned this. Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you.
And
and
we're the progressives.
And when we talked about this after the 2016 election, and I mean days after the election, I knew it was going to be entertaining. But here we are. We're not even to June of 2019 yet. We're still over a year away from the convention. Wow. How many more times are we going to get a Beto reboot? One more time. Did you try unplugging your Beto for 30 seconds and plugging it back in? I mean, it is just...
Control-Alt-Delete.
You know, the problem is it has a bug. Sorry. It has a virus.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
It is just entertaining. How is it that it seems only the critical thinkers are able to see this madness?
I don't know. How does it completely go unnoticed, or does it, by the media, or do they just choose to ignore it? Or
do they just play it down? Right.
Or I tend to believe that they agree with it. I'm moving away from the fact that the media ignores it and knows it happens. I do believe that they do think differently than we do. I do think that they think like the left does, which is in a bigoted manner. Because we don't think that way.
No.
They're the ones that think that way. Right. They're the ones that ask the questions.
Right.
That's why you've got half of the presidential candidates on an apology tour once they start being asked questions.
Like, that's going to be... That's what's going to get them to become accepted, and that will have them surging in the polls.
I don't know about you, but if I was... And again, I've said this a couple times today on different areas that, you know, in law enforcement or whatever, that I've never been involved with, but I think my points have critical thinking to them. I've never run for political office, but I would say that unless I get caught in a scandal, I would never apologize for anything, ever.
No.
Because to me, that would show a lack of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never apologize or justify anything. In fact, I'd say that's an inappropriate question to move on. I wouldn't even answer the question.
Right.
That's an inappropriate question.
Right.
Could you move on to the next? 866-90-RED-EYE.
Road check is an important part of the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance's strategy for keeping our highways safe. This year, the Inspection Blitz will take place from June 4th to the 6th and will focus on steering and suspension systems. Start preparing for road check now with a few simple checks before your next route. Check your ball joints and tie rods to ensure they're tight. Check the steering gearbox for any leaks and make sure your steering gear mounting hardware is tight and secure. Lastly, make sure the pitman arm pinch bolt and nut are tight. Take your road check prep one step further. Stop into a participating TA truck service May 1st through June 6th and receive a free mid-trip inspection to help avoid being placed out of service.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. George, Andrew, and more of your calls and comments coming up following the bottom of the hour. The whole Carter Page story yesterday, he alleges extensive contacts with the alleged FBI informant. That story came out yesterday. He said that he had much more extensive conversations and contact with that FBI informant, Stefan Halper. So. Mm. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit, plus more of the emails that were released here in the last couple of days, too, from Strzok and Page and all that, plus your calls and comments. And could the wall be torn down?
Yeah, this being the private sector wall.
Could it be torn down? Apparently they didn't get the approval of the city.
Right. And so, you know, many of the ordinances include, you know, you've got to get the permit. And if you put up the structure anyway without the permit, they require that you tear that down.
Yep.
So you'd have to tear it down and rebuild it. I don't know if they would rebuild it or not. I don't know if they'd have the money to rebuild it, but the city could, in this case, require them to tear it down.
City allows them to only have a 6-foot fence.
Right.
Or a 6-foot wall. So it's the wall is too high, according to the city. So we'll get to that coming up.
disturbing on so many levels. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric. I'm Gary. 866-90-RED-EYE. We're talking about the Democrats' campaign and in the story written on Joe Biden and his campaign that there's no excitement, nobody's really there, but he leads.
Yeah.
We go to George on Long Island. George, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, George.
Hey, guys. Nice to be glad to talk to you guys again. I was just saying, where's Hollywood in all this? And the music stars, and, you know, they hate Trump so much, you would think they'd be jumping on right now and really trying to push this to, you know, get over the line or something.
Yeah, I think that's a legit point. Where is Hollywood?
Well, but in, you know, the post-hashtag MeToo era, do you want to attach yourself to a Joe Biden?
Yeah, good point.
Again, maybe it wasn't abusive behavior or illegal behavior, but it was creepy behavior that crossed the line, and I don't want any part of that. I'll just quietly show up on Election Day. But the question is, how do you motivate a base with that kind of dynamic in place if he's going to be the nominee? Who? Now, Kamala Harris actually said, it was last week or week before, that she believes that Joe Biden would be a good running mate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is that opening the door to Biden, you know, eventually choosing her,
yeah,
picking her? Then she's going to field the questions. How could you? So anyone, any kind of endorsement, any kind of, well, especially at that level, I mean,
how can you be for women's rights,
right,
and so actively have been promoting yourself to work for Joe Biden?
Right. And you're going to, assumably, you're going to do this for 8 years.
Well, I mean, where did I read the story yesterday that it came out and said, look, the race is basically Sanders and Biden, maybe Buttigieg. Everybody else is running for vice president.
Right, yes.
I don't believe that's necessarily true this early on.
Well,
because you just don't know.
I guess that's what it is right now, but I don't know that I'm convinced that everybody else is running for vice president. You know, I think Kamala Harris probably looks at this right now and says, you know, if someone chose me to be vice president, I'm guessing she'd rather be on a ticket Buttigieg
I don't know if the article was stating Joe. That everybody wants to be the vice president, yeah. But that's, I think what the article is trying to state is that that's, you know, anybody who's left, that's the only hope of anything that you have,
right,
is catching the attention of one of the candidates who will then ask you, hey, might you wish to be my vice president?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm guessing, though, Kamala Harris would rather be on a ticket with Buttigieg instead of Biden. We talked yesterday about the energy being not what it was in 2016. You know, I mean, it's not a given that Biden is going to be the nominee. This is only if the polls hold and, you know, if he stays awake. Shh, come back later. The former vice president is sleeping. he'll make a campaign stop next week.
Let's go to Andrew in Springfield, Missouri. Andrew, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
My question for any of these Democrats running, other than making just empty promises, what do you actually have to stand on that you've done to make the country better?
Well, what you call empty promises, which are things that aren't going to happen, is what they feel are the issues they should be running on.
Mm-hmm.
And I would agree with you, Andrew. I believe they're empty promises. For example, you've got Andrew Yang out there, and he must be thinking to himself, what did I mean? I mean, I'm the one out there saying, look, $24,000 of transfer of wealth to every family, you know, mm-hmm. that if you get $1,000 a month, your wife gets $1,000 a month, that's $2,000 a month, that's $24,000 a year. I'm promising you that kind of redistribution of income, and I can't even pull a one.
Right.
Because we view that as empty promises, but many Democrats, until the
until the hatred for Trump, the hatred, the unfairness, therefore the hatred for Trump that he actually won in 2016, it seems as if that is even more important than all of the progressive promises that are initially were being thrown out by all the early candidates. It's almost as if that's getting no traction. There's really not. I mean, that's even being talked about when they have the town hall meetings. Nobody really seems to care.
Here's my question. How prominent is the hatred for Trump really with Democrat rank and file? Because, and this is where you get into the, you know, silent majority, or at the very least, a base on the left that, again, not everyone. We know that it's there. We know that it does exist.
But my question is... All right, the hatred is there in the media. Hatred is there...
The far left,
from,
no doubt.
From the political party.
Mm-hmm.
The hatred is there from the very active members of social media.
Mm-hmm.
That's less than 5% of Democrats.
So how prominent is it really? Because if they look at a situation right now where the economy is going well, I mean, you had, within a matter of like 24, 48 hours, you had both Chuck Todd and Anderson Cooper, I think it was, making the point that the economy is doing well. The economy is good.
That's the question.
Because
that question decides the 2020 election.
If they feel, if let's just say this group does exist, where it's Democrats, we're not talking about people who might vote for him. We're talking about people who definitely voted for her, for Hillary Clinton in 2016, but are looking at this going, I don't really hate the guy. He's a bumbling fool, or the kind of guy that I might vote for, but he's not what they make him out to be. It's not to the level of the hatred we see from the media, the far left. And what does that group do? Because if they're not motivated by somebody on the right in this huge effort to just defeat Trump, they stay home. Staying home is what kills bids for, any public office. People who just aren't motivated. And so I'm just wondering how much that resonates with the rank and file everyday Democrat today. Again, not that they necessarily would vote for Trump. Maybe they would. Maybe a few of them would. But that they just aren't motivated to show up for anybody on the left. And that they really, that hatred doesn't drive them like it drives the far left.
I go back to a couple of weeks ago when I was traveling and I saw a guy I know who works for one of the airlines. And every time I see him, he comes up to me and says, man, can you believe what's going on? What a zoo. It must be great to be in talk radio. I really never asked him his politics.
Mm.
And I forgot how we got into some conversation, but he started saying, oh, man, Trump's just out of control. He's doing this. I can't believe he says this. I can't believe he does this. Then I started sensing he's a Democrat. So I said, let me just throw this at him to see where he goes. I said, well, you know something? I said, Trump, for all the things that you have said there, when you look at his actual policies and the things that he has done are actually quite moderate and positive. He looks at me and goes, and that's why they need to give him a chance. I went, whoa. I mean, it came out of left field.
Right.
And so I think you make the greatest point. Get outside social media. Get outside the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
Get outside the media. And do rank and file Democrats actually hate Trump? And who are they?
Right.
Are they the elite Democrats?
Mm-hmm.
Are they the wealthy Democrats? Are they the middle-class Democrats that exist out there? Are they poor Democrats?
Are they the Maureen Dowd group? And here's my question.
That's what I mean, yes.
You know, shutting the... she said, you know, her friends on the left would shut the door, lock the door, draw the blinds, and turn the TV off any negative news that came out about Hillary in 2016. How many individuals say out loud to their friends,
oh, yeah, no, not Trump. No, definitely not. No, that's horrible, definitely. And then go home and think to themselves, is the guy really evil? Is the guy really this big, bad, what the media? And honestly, you have to include the whole Mueller thing. And that investigation has made him out to be. Have they really tried to oversell something that's just, frankly, it's not there. We know it's not there. We'll criticize the president. You know that. We disagree with him. We've talked about the messaging and everything else that where the faults are. Bottom line, what is it that is his mission statement? What is his agenda? All those items, with few, if any, exceptions, are things that would improve our society. A better economy, a secure border. Those two mainstays of the American principles. Think about that. So you take all of the chatter away from it. These people don't follow Trump every day on Twitter.
No, they don't.
They don't. More and more, they don't watch CNN even. And they're not tuning into MSNBC as much anymore. Are they all turned off by it?
Well, we've said this before. When you look at the average audience to, the liberal, just because we're talking about the left, you're talking what? 2 million a day?
Right.
Well, how many Democrats are there in the country? Mm-hmm. 120 million, 130. Right. That's 1%. That's,
that's nothing.
Yeah. That's a little over 1%.
So maybe, if you look at that, maybe
100, maybe 120, 130 million.
Right.
If you look at it, could be even more. But it's a very small percentage of Democrats that actually watch the liberal media or probably pay attention to what's going on, on an everyday basis, like a talk show host would.
Right.
Or anything like that. So if you look at it, do they have the same, are they following it like people that listen to talk radio or people that listen to the 24/7 networks? And most people aren't, which is why you see the ignorance, why you have, why you have the majority of Democrats, though, who believe that the Russians, though, now maybe it's changed in the last 2 months or 3 months since the last polling on it, but the majority of Democrats in the last poll still believe, though, that the Russians actually hacked into the election machine. It's a completely false story. There hasn't even been a false story written that happened. It was just put in question form for such a long time that it became reality for Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
So it is seeping through to them.
If the poll is accurate and true, yeah. It's all you have to go on, but.
Well, the number of polls from YouGov Economist, which was done, three of them over the last year and a half, and all of them showed the same thing.
Right. Well, again, it goes back to the, some of the elitists. Do they say that out loud and think to themselves, yeah, I really don't know. I'm just going to say it because it's popular to say.
Maybe.
You know, how many man on the street things have we seen? Oh, yeah, no, that's bad. Well, the whole thing about transgender. Well, can I be transracial? What about trans age? Well, but because they feel pressured.
Right.
Because that's what society has taught them to believe or say they believe.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye. By the way, I was just looking at the polls since we were talking about the polling there and what some of the Democrat candidates are doing. I did notice that in the two latest polls, which were late last week, that de Blasio doesn't appear on any of them.
Ouch.
Doesn't even have a one yet.
Yeah.
Still polling at zero.
I think it was the Washington Examiner that I have to go back and check and see if that was it, where some of those who donated to certain action committees, not presidential run, but the mayor's action committees,
like $5,000. Some of those donors, they went and they asked him, well, do you support him as president? And one guy was like, I don't even remember making that $5,000 donation. No, I'm not. I'm not committed to making. The point being is that these are people that give to something when he's mayor, because they're going to control. He's going to control quite possibly and lead something that's going to benefit them, you know, one way or the other, or their business or their investments. But so they're like, yeah. So you on board for him being president? No, 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 no. Let's not get crazy. And I wonder, again, where is the money? The money right now is with Biden. You look at all the RCP polls.
Yeah.
Biden just dominates.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across the world and America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Hurley. In the news, well, the headline of the day yesterday was the New York Post. Michael Avenatti wants to hire a lawyer who specializes in hopeless cases.
No, I think it's probably his best bet is to hire a lawyer that specializes in hopeless.
I just wanted to read the headline. It was my favorite headline of the day. Other news out there, the half-mile private border wall that sprung up over Memorial Day weekend was hit with a cease and desist order yesterday after being built in violation of a Sunland Park, New Mexico City ordinance. Mm. The wall built by a nonprofit organization funded by triple amputee Air Force veteran Brian Kovich's viral $20 million GoFundMe fundraising campaign did not obtain a building permit prior to breaking ground, Sunland Park city officials told KTSM. We have issued a cease and desist to the owner of the property, said Sunland Park, said the Sunland Park Democratic mayor at a press conference Tuesday. At this point, it will be turned over to the courts for follow-up in the matter. Kolfage claimed on Twitter that his organization, We Build the Wall, was given a green light to build and said the city's cease and desist order was BS.
Mm.
Use the real words, though.
Mm-hmm.
But former White House strategist and We Build the Wall director Steve Bannon told Yahoo News on Monday that his group hastily purchased the rights to construct a wall on private land. We had to catch them by surprise, Bannon said, adding that local residents are going to freak out when they see a hastily constructed wall. The mayor said the owner of the private property housing the wall submitted an incomplete application for the wall on Friday and then began construction shortly after. There was no survey submitted with the plans at this point. There's no site plan developed or turned to the city of Sunland Park. Also, city ordinance only allows a wall up to 6 feet tall, and this far exceeds that.
Hmm.
The mayor said the typical permitting process takes about 2 months. Just submitting an application one day and expecting a result the next is not sufficient time. He said city officials were denied access to the work site after learning Thursday that the private wall would be constructed. It's unclear whether the city has the authority to tear down the private wall. I would have to consult with my staff and attorneys as to what further actions can be done at this point. Look, we had said this the other day. I mean, this story's get a little bit overhyped to begin with. When they built it, we said, look, they build it on private property. It's a half mile long. The only thing is, I said jokingly, oh, the HOA, I have to deal with an HOA, must have approved it, not knowing that, according to the city, they did not approve it. And according to Steve Bannon, who is the head of the national group, He told Yahoo News that they had hastily purchased the rights. We had to catch them by surprise, he said. So the fact is they probably knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing it, I don't know, to pick a new battle?
Keeping the news, keep the fundraising going.
I guess, right?
Yeah.
Get people motivated to put more money in the fund, even though you may run into the same thing later?
Well, look, we said it was, if you're, both Eric and I are investors. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we invest in things that you know, when it comes to whether it's political contributions, charities, outside of investment to make more money, there are things that we invest in. We suggested at the time when this came out that it wasn't a smart investment because it wasn't going to go anywhere.
Right.
And so, you know, will the city, they asked, will the city have the authority to tear down the wall if you didn't file for a permit?
Yeah, it depends on the letter of the ordinance, but yeah.
And it violates city policy. Mm-hmm. Odds are they can tear it down.
Right. It is a structure. There's a reason you have to have a permit to build it. You may not like that city ordinance. You may not like that rule. But if it's the rule that's in place, there's no way around it.
So then I would ask, and I didn't see the interview with Steve Bannon. He was talking to Yahoo News. But my question would be, so you did this. You knew this was going to happen.
Right.
Right. You knew it was going to be. You knew that they would put a cease and desist in and you would have to stop building it. Because you had to obviously know that you don't submit an application one day and it's approved the next.
Right.
For any type of structure, anywhere.
Yeah. And I don't know that, you know, again, there, because you bring this huge national debate into a city, essentially. And it's going to, the process, by the way, on something that big, on the approval process, is never going to be short when you're applying for the permit. It's never going to be short. And so, well, you get the political energy by doing what? Making it happen quickly and then announcing it. And now you've got a battle on your hands. Well, the city wants to tear it down. Well, now you've got the new battle. To what end is my question. You know, you chose a battle to do what? Get more attention in order to do what? So I don't know what their end game is here. You know, you're going to build something, then build it. And if you're going to do it, then do it right. That would be my advice. I don't know if 6-foot walls going to do much at all. You know, they have an ordinance that you're not going to be able to get around. So I just don't see that going very far.
Yesterday, I woke up to the Michael Wolff upcoming book, mm-hmm. Siege, Trump Under Fire, that reportedly claimed that Robert Mueller drew up an obstruction of justice indictment against President Trump. But a spokesperson for Mueller said the claim is wildly inaccurate. The Siege already has something in common with its predecessor, Fire and Fury. Wolf's follow-up anti-Trump book is scheduled to hit the bookstores on June 4th, but The Guardian obtained an early copy. Siege claims that Mueller drew up a 3-count obstruction of justice indictment against Donald Trump before deciding to shelve it, according to The Guardian's Edward Helmore. According to Helmore, Wolf reports that Mueller's office planned to charge the president with influencing, obstructing or impeding a pending proceeding, tampering with a witness, victim or informant, and retaliating against a witness, victim or informant, but eventually decided to shelve it. While the Guardian reporter says he viewed the documents, Mueller denies that it even exists.
Right.
The documents described do not exist, Mueller spokesman told Pete Carr yesterday, told Fox News. The Wolf was accused of misrepresenting his levels of access and fabricating events for Fire and Fury, and appears Siege will face similar accusations as Mueller's team claims a key document is not authentic. You and I talked about this yesterday, and talked about it earlier today. And as soon as I read that, you know what my conclusion was? Mueller's not going to testify publicly and now may not testify in private.
Yeah, it's, I don't
you
know.
You may have to subpoena Mueller.
Well, because I don't know why you would want to, knowing what you're going to face. the left is going to make you the enemy. On the right, you're already the enemy. Because you didn't do what, you didn't produce what the left wanted you to produce, so you're going to become the enemy. You're the enemy of both sides. Why would you want to sit there in front of that? Because, and also, you know, possibly risk someone threatening to come at you for perjury down the road, or, you know, this or that. And it becomes far too great of a risk, frankly. I don't know why Mueller
The left even picked up on the fact that, well, they said that document isn't authentic, but were there other documents that were authentic? Right. And the question would be asked, well, but were there notes? Did you discuss this?
Yes.
And did part of your
staff... Did you say the word obstruction at any point?
Right. Did you discuss obstruction of justice? Did any member of your team write you notes or emails or anything that suggested that obstruction of justice go through, and then you stopped it, and then Mueller becomes the next devil, and that would be the game plan, I believe, of the Democrats. Look, you and I, and the other thing I thought about this, because we said this that first night after the Mueller report came out, when we analyzed it, it was, I believe, and I still do today, I believe that part of the Mueller team wish to charge Trump with obstruction of justice.
Yes.
They wish to stretch the law out. They wish to expand on a law which does not exist for obstruction of justice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't be surprised if that actually happened, maybe not with that document, but an email, notes, whatever, where Mueller was told from some of his attorneys that they would like to see if they could get the president for obstruction of justice, if they could expand the law outside of the letter of the law.
Yeah.
I do believe that there's a possibility that that did happen. And the last thing Mueller is going to want to deal with is take the blame for letting Trump go free by the Democrats.
Right.
That's where it's headed. And you and I said this all along, that by Mueller not making a decision, he opened that up as an area for the Democrats to question. And you and I said this on day one. Why would he do that?
Why?
Why not just say, nope, not going to do it, or yes, going to do it? As soon as you opened it up, because you decided to play politics with it.
Right.
But if you weren't playing politics and didn't have the evidence to indict, you would have said, nope, no obstruction of justice, no collusion, and ended it there. You are the one that started with this. And if you're, some people thought, well, maybe he does wish to be questioned so he could say, yes, we wanted to charge Trump, but didn't do it. But why would he do that? Because then he's only indicting himself for not doing his. The Democrats would scream, you didn't do your job.
Right. There's no win. You know, his testimony is the report, frankly. And he owes that to one person, the Attorney General. It's A.G. Barr's report.
Yeah.
End of story.
Mueller was his investigator. Right.
And he knows the Democrats are going to be trying to reconstruct or trying to construct a do-over. Trying to piece together through that testimony a do-over. No.
I can't see. After this came out, I can't. Now, I will say this. Once the Mueller spokesperson came out, I have never seen a story like this die so quickly.
I went to Politico and CNN, and I didn't see anything on the front pages of either website about this. So does the liberal media put anything into it at all?
That's a great point.
Because if they believe it, well, they haven't had any problem on jumping on things that weren't real before, but it may tell you how dead of a story, or how, I guess, how this whole thing just doesn't add to anything. If this were something, you would think one of those two, Politico or CNN, would at least acknowledge it by saying it's out there.
You know what I'm thinking, though? Because he sold like 5 million copies of the last book.
Right.
You and I could come up with, you know, Red Eye Investigates and just make up stuff.
Well, we have sources that say this and say that.
Why can't we? Right. We could sell a million copies.
Right.
What do you get for selling a million books these days?
I don't know.
What would the advance be?
I'm guessing 20, 30 bucks.
My devious mind at work here.
A paycheck advance or a payday advance?
No, we'd have to pay them.
Right.
You know, there are those publishers that come to you and say, we'll publish your book, just give us $10,000.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, that's working wrong. You're supposed to pay me.
Yeah, you're the publisher.
Now, if I have to pay you, then nobody's going to buy my book.
Right. Exactly. And I'm going to be stuck with a bunch of books that I wrote. Right. And I don't even want
right.
that.
I don't even want to read. I don't want to read my own lies.
I don't want to read my books.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Storms in the Plains and Midwest have been bad for major crop planting progress. First, to look at corn.
Only 58% of the intended acreage planted by May 26th. Five-year average and last year, 90%.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says that is a record low number.
Previous records set back in 1995, 67% of the corn planted on that date back in 95.
He says his news about soybean plantings is not much better.
It's very similarly bad when you look at the planting situation for beans. 29% planted by May 26th. Five-year average is 66%. Last year at this time, we were ahead of that at 74% planted.
This is the second lowest soy planting number on record for the state. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Coming up following the bottom of the hour, James Comey goes after the president, said there was no treason, calls him a liar, and accused him of dumb lies, and says there was no conspiracy. There was nobody out to get Donald Trump. There was no corruption. There was no treason. There was no attempted coup. Those are all lies. We'll get to that and some of the response. In fact, some response from Trey Gowdy coming up. Yesterday, we had talked very briefly about the fact that the World Health Organization has found burnout a medical condition.
Okay.
Now they have said that video games can be an addiction. The World Health Organization calls gaming addiction a pattern of persistent or recurrent gaming behavior so severe it takes precedent over other life interests.
Well,
top, and this is my, this, I'm sorry.
Maybe your other life interests are just really, really boring.
This is my favorite first sentence, not a headline, but favorite first sentence to lead an article. Mm-hmm. Los Angeles, Dateline, Los Angeles. Top global gaming organizations are asking the World Health Organization to reverse its inclusion of gaming disorder as a disease. According to a press release sent by the Entertainment Software Association on Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, okay. A disease.
Well, it's a mental health disorder.
Okay.
So, is a disorder a disease?
Well,
they're using the word disease in this, in NBC News, but... Mm. They call it a mental health disorder.
All right. So then what's next is I suffer from this. And the only cure, the only remedy is to stay home and play games.
Well, I was just going to say, if I've got gaming addiction or burnout, mm-hmm. medical marijuana.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
we're going to classify every state of mind as a condition.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that end? Where do you take that? What do you do with that? Everything is a condition. Being bored. People who are often bored have a condition.
Well, boredom creates anxiety. I know it does in me.
Yeah.
I hate boredom.
All right. Then smoke some pot. Here's your forecast.
It's been an incredible stretch of severe weather for especially the nation's heartland, where over 300 tornadoes in the past 2 weeks have been reported. The setup today is still in place to see hail, high winds, potential severe thunderstorms from Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, down through northern Texas, where we'll see a pretty good likelihood for severe thunderstorms in and around the Dallas area. Earlier this year, some of the weather destruction came as a result of flooding, especially in the northern plains. With that flow moving downstream, we don't need any more rain for Arkansas, where the Arkansas River has crested in some areas. In and around Little Rock, there are reports of folks being on standby for evacuations. New York City today will see a high of 77 with a chance of showers. Chicago, thunderstorms and 70. Dallas, 85 with thunderstorms through the day. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Old white conservatives. Feel free to heckle them. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric. I'm Gary. We're getting ready for our apology tour.
Yeah.
We're going to have groupies on our apology tour.
We are?
Yes.
Oh. Really? I don't even know what to do with that.
Which we'll have to apologize for after.
Think we can start now. Why wait? I mean, it seems the thing to do is just say I'm sorry.
You know, this when you think about how quickly things change, and you think just a month ago, it was still over a month ago, but it was still Comey and Brennan just attacking the daylights out of Trump and the Democrat collusion and you name it. And then to see some of the headlines yesterday, James Comey, this is from Fox, James Comey defends Strzok, disputes treason accusation in fiery op-ed piece, dumb lies. I'm waiting for Brennan now and James Comey to come out and say, this is a witch hunt.
Yeah, exactly.
Former FBI Director James Comey went after the president's claim that he committed treason. His agents committed treason during the Russia investigation, noting that although it was tempting to ignore the president, he was acting as a liar who doesn't care what damage he does to vital institutions. There was no corruption. There was no treason. There was no attempted coup. There were those are lies and dumb lies at that. There were just good people trying to figure out what was true under unprecedented circumstances, Comey wrote in the Washington Post on Tuesday.
Yeah, unprecedented in that they've never hated a guy so much.
His words came after the administration ramped up its investigation into the Russia probe origin. Attorney General William Barr, during a Fox News interview in May, pledged to get to the bottom of the probe's origin. And the president, for his part, authorized the DOJ to declassify intelligence documents relating to the investigation. Comey wrote, the conspiracy theory makes no sense. The FBI wasn't out to get Donald Trump. It also wasn't out to get Hillary Clinton. It was out to do its best to investigate serious matters while walking through a vicious political minefield, Comey wrote. But go ahead, investigate the investigators if you must. He also went on to defend his agents and specifically Peter Strzok.
Yeah, okay.
Well, so of course, Trey Gowdy was asked all about this yesterday and what he thought about Comey's comments. Here is some of that audio.
I don't use the word treason. It's a crime for which you can be put to death, so I'm pretty judicious in how I use it. But Comey goes on in that op-ed to talk about the good men and women of the FBI. And there are lots of good women and men at the FBI. Most of them would never target a political campaign and hope that it lost $100 million to nothing. Most FBI agents would never belittle political supporters of someone else and say they could smell them at a Walmart. They would never promise to stop a political candidate. They would never say they were destabilizing for the country or call them an effing idiot. They would never use unverified information, give it the imprimatur of the U.S. government, and then submit it in a FISA application. But Martha, every FBI agent that was involved in 2016 did that. That was done by the FBI. So Comey has no one but to blame but himself. No one to blame but himself if he is concerned about what the investigation in 2016 may uncover. Most FBI agents wouldn't do any of what I described. Unfortunately, the ones he picked did all of that.
Yeah, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were the people that he put in charge of that investigation. Do you sense that there is a mood in the intelligence agencies now that they are getting nervous about what the new investigation that Bill Barr has mandated might find?
It depends on whether or not they've done anything wrong. Most people who have done nothing wrong don't get nervous. I think the great irony is when I see headlines lamenting the possibility that classified information is going to be disseminated by Bill Barr. I mean, think back, Martha, in 2016 and 2017, right after Trump became president, who was disseminating the classified information? It was the New York Times and the Washington Post. That's who was sharing classified information. Nobody was concerned about it then. Bill Barr is the duly appointed, nominated, confirmed attorney general. I think that he knows enough to investigate what parts of the intelligence community did not meet our high expectations. The notion that any entity is above oversight, above review. So I agree with Comey. Let's do investigate the investigators. It'd be helpful if he were a little more objective about the... I mean, imagine the frustration, Martha, when you read the lead agent that was put on this investigation promised to stop your campaign. Can Comey not at all understand how someone may not have confidence in an investigation run by someone who talked about an insurance policy?
Yeah, but you know what he says about that, Trey? He says, oh, they're just texting. Those are his personal feelings, and people are entitled to their personal feelings. But he believes that he never let that, you know, bleed into his work at all.
Well, let me disabuse him of that. Remember at the end when they were deciding whether or not to join the Mueller team, Peter Strzok said, my concern is that there's no there, not my hope, not my joy, not my expectation. My concern is that there's no there. And then he mused that if this were leading towards impeachment, he'd be interested in it. This is a career FBI agent who's supposed to dedicate his career to investigating Russia. That was not enough for him. To investigate what Russia was doing to us was not enough for Peter Strzok. He was not interested unless it was going to lead to the political outcome of impeachment. That's about all you need to know about Peter Strzok. If it's about finding out about Russia, count him out. If it's impeachment of someone he wanted to lose $100 million to nothing, count him in.
The other thing that I would make is when Comey has, you know, used that excuse, well, look, everybody has their own opinion, and it didn't affect the investigation. By him sending out emails to other people involved in the investigation, he, by doing that, was tainting an investigation if it ever went to trial.
Right.
That's why you don't have investigators putting their personal comments into anything. Remember, as we talked about earlier, the FBI investigates and goes after, and the Department of Justice prosecutes on the federal level corrupt public officials. They do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They go after members of Congress and have successfully prosecuted members of Congress for corruption. They've gone after governors and successfully prosecuted governors for corruption. They've gone after mayors and done the exact same thing. That's why they know you never give your personal opinion of that particular politician when you're involved in an investigation against them, because that has the ability to destroy the entire investigation. So when Comey says that was just his opinion and didn't affect the investigation, the fact that he was writing it to other people involved in the investigation shows he was willing to hurt the credibility and integrity of that investigation down the road if they found that Trump actually did something.
Right. You know, because Comey twice, when testifying on Capitol Hill, talked about the integrity of the FBI and the agents and everything else, but he never protected that integrity himself in practice. Think about ultimately what he did. Comey was about what? Running to his buddy to make sure that it was leaked to the media.
Yep.
That's protecting the integrity of the FBI? That's how it's done. Well, no, for him it wasn't about integrity. It was about covering his backside. And since then, when you look at the pattern of behavior by him, Strzok, and everybody else involved, what do you see? You see them, even as of yesterday, still trying to get ahead of something, clearly.
Well, I think there are a lot of nervous people right now. You know, people like James Comey, people like Brennan, people like Clapper, who seem to be very vocal. And Comey coming out with this op-ed piece after the president told William Barr, number one, that he has the authority to release classified information, but not even that. It's the president instructing and ordering the intelligence agencies to give William Barr whatever he wants. Sarah A. Carter, and we talked about the story earlier, wrote a piece yesterday where she said this is what it's all about. Joe DiGenova was saying the same thing, that the intelligence agencies are now scared to death. And the reason that Trump did that is because they were not cooperating with William Barr, because this fight has been going on, because if they actually get the information that they want, they will find out, and you can look at the FISA court rebuke of the Obama administration for violating the rights of Americans in the FISA court process. They said that this isn't just about Trump, that this goes back to 2011, 2012. This goes back almost a decade of Obama administration law enforcement officials doing illegal surveillance on Americans. That is what their sources tell them. Eventually, this is where it's leading to, and this is what's scaring the daylights out of everybody right now. And that's why Trump did that. That's why Trump said, the intelligence agencies, I order you to cooperate with William Barr, because they were fighting William Barr every step of the way. They don't want to release the information that they have there. They don't want to do it. They don't want the American people to know what went on. And that's why you've seen just in the last couple of days this whole thing, and Trey Gowdy was on it, that the left is screaming, oh no, William Barr is going to give away all the top secrets of America. Mm-hmm. Nobody was saying that when they were investigating Trump, were they? Nobody was concerned about it then, were they? No.
No, they weren't. And it's something, by the way, it was a pure coincidence that we were talking about this and asking questions about this on yesterday's show. Sarah A. Carter putting that story out about the battle there, the Justice Department and the intelligence agencies, and what it's taking to put all this together. And the fact that it does, because we asked this yesterday, we've asked it before. How could you go back to 2016 without going back to, because when you go back to 2016, that's where Sarah A. Carter and John Solomon's work goes back to, and the court documents that show that the FISA courts were rebuking the Obama administration's Justice Department going back to 2011. So if you go back to 2016,
you have to go back to
2011. Is that why Mueller didn't go back to 2016? Because there's no way to do that without connecting it all the way back to the time when he was the FBI director.
That question has to be asked, because you and I talked about, outside of that, just if you were an investigator, and we've talked about this for a long time, if you were just an investigator and you were looking to get Trump on colluding with the Russians, that was your job. You were told this is what you're investigating. Your investigation is about, did Trump collude with the Russians to hack the election?
Mm-hmm.
First place you would have gone was a FISA warrant.
Right.
If you went to the FISA warrant to get the best probable cause of Trump and the campaign colluding with the Russians, it would have led you right down that path.
Yep.
Right down that path to all the FISA warrants, all the FISA abuse, the Democrats colluding with the Russians by getting information from inside the Kremlin. You would go down that entire path, and the other path you would have gone down is the FISA warrant in general Were there law broken in order to get that? Was the FISA warrant legit? And if you go to that point, then you have to go all the way back to 2011 because that Admiral, I can't think of his name here at the moment, the Admiral Rogers, who went to the FISA court at the right before the election, that was inclusive of the Carter Page warrant.
Right.
So that would take you all the way back. And who was FBI director in 2011 and 2012 that the FISA court rebuked the FBI?
Robert Mueller.
Robert Mueller. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Shell recently launched Shell Rotella T615W40 full synthetic. Megan Pino is Shell Rotella Global Brand Manager and tells us what was behind the development and more about the product.
We are excited to launch this new full synthetic Shell Rotella T615W40. This is the first time we have a full synthetic in 15W40 viscosity range. We know that truckers love 15W40. That is the primary viscosity grade used in the U.S. and Canada and really in many parts of the world as well. So our customers can enjoy some of the benefits of cold temperature properties, low temperature and high temperature, allowing for the oil to flow faster into the engine and protect it better. Having a full synthetic also allows for extended drain opportunities for those that are trying to push the limits a little bit. But we always recommend following their manufacturer recommendations and doing oil analysis to ensure that they are changing when appropriate.
For more, go to Rotella.com. This engine report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. We have an interesting week still to come forward, don't we?
Yeah. I mean,
every day it's drip, 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 drip. But with Comey coming out yesterday and saying that, I just thought it is incredible how the tide has turned over the last month and a half.
Right. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to watch what Mark Meadows was essentially trying to say last week. Does that come true? This huge, huge amount of information that would essentially make your hair curl, is the way he phrased it. Will that happen in the next few days?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.